You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith.
Episode 53.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Hey, I'm so glad you could join us.
Today, our guest is Kelly Glover, and Kelly is from the Talent Squad. Today, we're going to be talking about how small businesses can get what they want by asking for it. Welcome, Kelly.
Hello. It's so lovely to be on the show, Kathy. Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to like getting what you want, right? Asking for it.
Absolutely. And I think that's the problem for a lot of people is they know what they want, but they don't know how to ask. So what would be your top tips on how to ask for what you want?
I think you need to look at who are you asking and what are they getting out of it. So you want something, but what is the person? So whether you're pitching the media, for example, if you're pitching a podcast, which is what we did to get on this show, the first thing we would look at is what the audience is, what their needs are, what the host is, and what we have to offer. It's always looking, it's a buying and selling situation. And in the situation of pitching something, you are the person selling yourself and the person you are pitching to is the buyer. So what have you got and why should they say yes to you and buy it?
Absolutely. And it needs to be a win-win. So you're pitching your services, but what is the win for the buyer as well?
Yeah. So think of it as I want to come to your party and, well, what do you got to offer? What plate of food are you bringing to make my party awesome? Are you bringing the entertainment? Are you bringing the decorations? So if they've already got somebody with a house full of balloons and you're saying, hey, I want to bring the balloons. Sorry, that's already covered. Then you need to figure out what would be valuable to them. Party pies. I think I'm thinking of Halloween because that's happened recently, but it's still a good concept. Yeah. What are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the party? And you need to position yourself. Well, I've got this and these are amazing. And this is what the guests would really love. This is going to be the best thing. So you need to position yourself and or your business and or your product, depending on which angle it is, to get that person to say yes. But you also need to actually deliver, right? So when we talk about pitching with regards to pitching the media, the subject line needs to be clickbait that actually delivers. What subject line is going to even get that person to open the email in order for them to say yes, especially if they don't know you and it's a cold pitch?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's where people go wrong is they're thinking about what service they can offer, but they're not thinking about the benefit to the person. So in your media example, is why would they promote you? Why would they do an interview with you? Why would they come back and ask you more questions if they don't know what you're actually all about? And particularly when it's a cold call and they haven't actually heard from you.
Yeah, and you can, I call it poking holes in it. That's what we call it at the Talent Squad. So you can flip it around and reverse engineer it and ask yourself, if this email came into me, would I say yes? I would say that with regards to pitching and cold emails, you can definitely warm the person up before you even send that email. Maybe it's interacting on LinkedIn. Maybe it's interacting on Facebook. Maybe it's writing a review on the iTunes, listening to episodes. So there's ways that you can demonstrate and get a pre-relationship with the person before you do that ask. Gary Vaynerchuk, which he's obviously super famous, hugely popular, he calls it the jab, 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 right hook, okay? So you can't just go in going, hi, Kathy, I'd love to be a guest on your show and this is all about me. If the answer is so what, who cares, then you've lost them. You need to go in going, hi, Kathy, I see this is your audience and the last few guests spoke about this and I think that your audience would be really interested in this. Is that something that you're interested in? It's the way your expertise and or product is always the same. But it's how you package it up for the individual audience is how what's going to stand between a getting opened and the yes. So we don't doubt that you know what you're talking about and you're an expert that's not a question. It's how you package it, present it to get the yes to get in the door.
Absolutely. And I think that's where people sometimes go wrong. They go, but I know all of this. I'm an expert.
Yeah.
But the person at the other end of the email or at the phone or the conversation doesn't know that. So I often say to my clients, you've got to remember, even though it's industry standard, people outside of the industry don't always know it. So you definitely need to articulate.
Yeah, and you can be an expert, but there could be 10 other experts. And when you're looking at pitching a podcast or whatever media, if they've had 10 other people talking about what you're pitching, you need to kind of know the people that have pitched before you and what's in the back catalog, whether that be of shows, products, whatever it is with regards to the pitch. You can't go and pitch something that's already happened because it's already happened. So you need to find the white space and you're able to recalibrate your message. And it's still the same expertise, but it's repackaging it in a way that is palatable and fits in with what the client is looking for.
Yes, and like you said with the balloons, if you've got 10 people pitching balloons, why are your balloons so much better than somebody else's balloons? And if they've already got balloons, do they have the streamers that go with them? Do they have the little tags that make it so that you don't hurt your fingers when you're tying them up? All of those kind of things. So if you can build that all into one package, then you can still maybe get in that way.
You're right. And with going with that, like balloons are super simple, but you've got shiny ones, you've got ones filled with stuff, you've got helium ones. So if I was a balloon show, all those different things, even though I've talked about that, that's what we call an angle or a variation of a speaking topic on the same thing. So you're always looking to package up and essentially it's still balloons. You're still offering the same thing, but it's a variation of the same thing. So that is actually a really good working example when you think, oh, someone's already got that. Well, what kind of a balloon can you offer? Maybe a personalized one with their name on it. Awesome. I would love that. If you brought me to my party a balloon that had a streamer and glitter and my name on it, I'm probably going to kick out the normal Coles balloon without helium and put you in their place. And that's the same with your talking topic and it being a guest, right? It really is.
Yes. And sometimes it's a case of niching down too. So if you know that we're talking to Kelly who loves glittery balloons, we're going to give her a pink glittery balloon because that's your colour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes it's a refining it down to the actual audience we're talking to.
So it's all about selling yourself as the expert in your field, but knowing what the person you're pitching to wants and packaging it up in a nice box instead of a Coles plastic bag.
Yes, because we don't like plastic bags these days, so we definitely don't want to be doing
Absolutely.
That. Great. Okay, so we're thinking about how we can differentiate our product and our audience. So with the actual pitch, are there tips and techniques that we should be using to actually, like you say, get the email opened or get them returning your call?
Yeah, so with regards to emails, the headline is super important. And like I said, we call it clickbait that actually delivers. So it needs to be that one line and you can test it in your email to see what shows up, what amount of words show up and what first line shows up. We're always doing that. And would you be able to clickbait yourself into opening that email? If not, and it just says pitch Kelly Glover, boring. If the answer is so what, who cares, and you wouldn't open your own email, you need to think again. If you want to open that email, even though you know the answer and it's you, that's good because it's just to get it opened. That any person worth their weight in gold is going to cross-check and verify everything. So any one media one sheet or supporting materials of the pitch is just the key to the door and you still need the person. They're going to go across your social media. They're going to look at your followership. They're going to look at the one sheet, look at your press kit. Have you done any other interviews? You know, what other products have you done in the past? What other services have you done in your past? Who are your other clients, depending on if it's not a media pitch to other areas? That's just to get to the, yes, I'm interested. Okay. Yes, I'm going to vet you, but you still need to have all your media, visual and social assets and online presence in line for the next step. Otherwise, you've got the door open, but they're just going to slam it in your face because you don't have the goods to back it up. So it's all about the preparation before you send the pitch. Otherwise, honestly, you've wasted that chance and the first impression's already gone. You can't get that back.
Yes, and that's why it's so important to have your branding right across to be incongruent with you yourself and as well as your brand. So it's no point having one set of branding and one colour and you've just changed your logo, so then you've got the old logo and, all your hard work is absolutely gone. And like you say, you only get one chance at a first impression and these days it's very fleeting.
Yeah.
So you need to make
it. And the other thing I think people don't necessarily, it's not that people don't think about it or are doing it wrong. It's just that they don't know, Kathy. You don't know what you don't know if you haven't pitched the media or pitched for funding, whatever it is. So the other thing to think about is language. It's not just your headshots, your coloring, your logo, your branding, your socials, the photos, the content. It's also, if I've got a really buttoned up look and I'm a newsreader look and I'm very corporate, and then you write a pitch, hey mate, how are you going? Well, that doesn't match up. And if you're pitching someone who's a political and very buttoned up person and you pitch with that, that's not matching their language. So there's a very delicate balance of speaking in the, knowing the language of your audience that you're pitching and speaking to them in a way that they understand and appreciate, and while still having respect to your branding as well. So for me to be very formal, that's not my brand, but I'm also not g'day mate, how you going? Because that's not true to me. So you've got to figure out who you're speaking to, what your brand is, and get the delicate balance of meeting people where they are while still showcasing who you are.
Yes, and that can be a case of sometimes of who you're choosing to pitch to as well. So like before, when you're talking about Gary Vee, if you were talking about a similar sort of person like that that drops the F-bombs all the time and has that particular language, and you're into childcare or you're a children's type of brand, that's obviously a major mismatch. So you really need to be looking at who it is that you're pitching to, whether it be media or whether it be a joint venture, whether it be some sort of partnership, or whether it just be you're looking for a client and or a supplier. So you really do need to be matching your brand with their brand in those sort of instances.
Yeah, I think it's what you're really talking about there is the vetting process. It's not only are they good enough for you, it's are you good enough for them? Not even good enough. Do you match, right? You need to go through a process, because we find a lot of people say, I want to be on the Tim Ferriss show, right? Super famous. He's awesome. 4-hour work week. Love Tim Ferriss. Great. But if the last few people were Gary Vee, were Oprah, were Richard Branson, and you're not in that category and you pitch them, that is a poor reflection on your brand, because it shows that you don't understand the caliber of person you're pitching. And it doesn't mean that you won't get there one day, but maybe you're not ready today. So you need to sort of look for the level, an appropriate level to pitch. Otherwise, they're just going to think this person has no idea what they're doing. And also start with smaller, with any of those things that you were talking about, joint ventures, partnerships, start smaller and test the water before you go to the peak, because you don't want to mess it up. And I don't know if you've ever listened to the podcast Startup about Gimlet Media. I love that show, and some hard listening, because when Bloomberg does pitching and he messes it up, it's so awkward to listen to, and they're really important people. So I would rather with any media appearance and or pitch, whether that be on the phone or on the email, test it out with smaller fish in a smaller pond, then go to the big boppers and absolutely screw it up, because the only way down there from there is down. At the Talent Squad, we call it practice in private before you go public. And I recommend that with not only emails, not only with interviews, and not only with speaking in person, but yeah, so that can be audio, that can be, yeah, just get the practice ones out of the way before you send the real ones.
Perfect. And that's something that people don't realize too, is that you don't start perfect. So you do need to have that practice. Like any tennis player, they're out there hitting the racket, hitting the balls over and over and over before they get to Wimbledon. The other thing, of course, is that you're not respecting the other person's brand.
Yes.
So you're not, if you haven't done your homework to, like you say, have seen that all these people are huge caliber, they've got massive following, and you're just the local celebrity in your town, then, you haven't respected their brand either. So you're definitely just going to get wiped away. And then in 5, 10 years, 1 year, 2 years, whatever it takes, that you are that caliber, they're going to remember that, and you've blown your one chance.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, definitely do your homework.
It doesn't mean not ever. It just means not now. If that is your goal, let that be your goal and just get there. You know what I mean? I would never look down on someone's goal, but you just have to be realistic. Is now the time? No, maybe not. Maybe it is. If you're that awesome and you get in, fantastic. Great.
Yes. So, yes, if you're out there being a tennis player and you're the local champion, your town, then, yeah, go for states, go for nationals before you then try to go to Wimbledon.
Yeah, think of it as walking up steps. I think that's the best way to think about anything, incremental for sure.
Great. Okay, so what other tips could you do now that we've worked out who our audience is, we've worked out what kind of pitch we want to do, where should we be going with it now?
So I think the thing is, once you've got the yes, then what happens? You really need to have everything in place for, okay, great, let's have a call in 5 minutes. Okay, great. Oh, someone's cancelled on the show. I would really like, can you do the show live today? So you need to have whatever is in place that is required for that. So in podcasting, that would be you need to show up camera ready. You need to have your microphone and headset. You need to have your one sheet and talking points ready. If you're an author, you need to have, you can just send over the details on the book. So always know that you need to be ready at the drop of a hat, because if you're not, somebody else will be. And if they are, they're going to get asked back multiple times. Also, if you're talking about joint ventures and funding, great. Have you got a press kit on that? Great. What are the numbers? What can we meet today? Have you got a deck that you can show us? If you don't, and it's just an idea and you don't have the materials to back it up, if that person is going to say yes and sign up with you on the spot, you've missed that opportunity. Make sure that you've got what it is that you're saying backed up, ready to go. So if something goes your way, then it really goes your way.
Yes, and I think that can be the case, especially with local media. If you're pitching to go on a radio or the local television, they quite often will have it booked for weeks and weeks, but then something falls over, somebody's not available. So you could get literally that call 5 minutes after you pitch. So if you're not ready, your one opportunity, you've lost. And of course, if you say no, then you go to the bottom of the stack, if not completely off the stack. So yeah, definitely having your material ready and slides, like you say, your slide deck for joint ventures and partnerships. And just show them visually too what you
Yeah, and it also comes down to your messaging, key talking points and sound bites. So yes, you might show up, but if you don't have your story straight and know what you need to do and get your call to action in there, then it's wasted. So you really need to have that down as much as an elevator pitch, a 30-second intro, a 60-second intro. Are they, is it a long form 30-minute or is it a 3-minute on the spot? So with media, yeah, podcasting, usually it's pre-recorded. You have a longer lead time. So you're pretty much fine with that. You can usually choose the time. The thing that we're talking about in that scenario, Kathy, is if it's, you know, Sunrise or the Today Show or whatever, because those might be some kind of a scandal or a news event, and you're the expert that happens to be the one that can speak on that. And that's when it goes with the 24-hour news cycle, or as we call it in PR, newsjacking. So you can pitch yourself to the media with some kind of political thing, and you're the person on that. You can say, right, I can come and speak about this, 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 and this, and then you're in the studio at, 4 o'clock in the morning for the live show and be ready to go. So always think about the calendar, yes. Events that are coming up that might be relative to you and your brand. You know, there's the usual ones, the Christmas, the New Year. They usually have a 6 month lead time, so they're doing that in the middle of the year, getting that media ready. So you've got a runway on that, but if you miss that runway, it's gone. They're already looking at that Valentine's Day for next year, maybe not quite yet, but a little bit sooner. But then you've got if there's a snap election or something going on, or political unrest, then that is, you need to be ready to go at any time.
Yes, definitely. And for our overseas listeners, that Sunrise is a morning show that is viewed nationally in Australia. So, yeah, definitely jumping on to some of those hot topics. Like things like environment, if there's been some sort of environmental issue, and the local cafe that doesn't do plastics anymore, that might be something that you can pitch to the local media. And they're always going to be time sensitive. So, yeah, definitely be ready for them.
Yeah. So an example of that was one of our clients. There was the college scandal in the US where the celebrity parents were paying for their kids like some test, SAT test equivalent to the Australian HSC. We had a client that was on Shark Tank and got a perfect SAT score And that's what he talks about, teaching people to get SAT scores. So when that happened, he was pitched to the media as an expert on SATs. And so he got on TMZ. So that was a situation which we would call newsjacking, saw an opportunity. He's the expert, also has a book, has a business, but went on talking about the situation. He didn't go on talking about his book. He was an expert commenting on the situation who happened to be somebody with a business and a book. So it's always the problem first instead of the person, because it wasn't about him. It was about the situation and the problem and his solution.
Yes. And that was why he was put on, because he had an answer or a comment on that particular problem. I think that's another thing that particularly small businesses do. They come with the solution, but not everybody actually knows what their problem is. So you really do need to lead with the problem so that you can then have people go, yeah, I understand that. Kelly, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, I need your help.
And talking about small businesses and asking for it, with that and that particular person contacted the media. It wasn't the media contacting him. So if you sit around waiting for somebody to contact you and you are a small business, that's probably not going to happen. So you need to put it out there. Now, it's not that he puts it out there every single time and it gets accepted, but so it is a bit of a hit and miss ratio. Sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. But in order to get the yes, you have to put it out there. So just know that it's not personal if you don't get the yes to come on the show. Sometimes it's about being timely. Sometimes they're not looking for that. Who knows what it is? But in order to get accepted, you have to have your hat in the ring. So I always say, yes, pitch it and have the backup to do it so you can be the one. Because after a number of times, if your pitch is good enough and they keep seeing your name, then you will become the go-to expert in your field.
And that's exactly what we were talking about before, is pitch small. So start by your local newspaper, your local media, and then work up to your nationals and then your internationals.
Yeah, because then you have a reel. So if you're talking about television, then it will be, okay, well, I was on the NBN News in Newcastle or Wollongong or wherever it is. And then they can see, oh, okay, great. Well, they've done that. They're ready for the next level. So any kind of evidence you have of your building up your press reel, whether that be video and or articles you've written or being a guest on podcasts, because as a producer, we want to see your press kit and we want to see what you've done so we can go, oh, yep, great. Kathy's a good speaker. She's done that before. Okay, we'll get her in, instead of me having to search around the internet, because that just makes it too hard for me. I just want to press something, play it for, as a producer, you're pretty good. You can get it in a couple of minutes. So producers, they know what they're looking for. So whether that be, you know, 30, 60 seconds, 3 minutes, that will expedite the yes to you being the go-to expert, because they're seeing you've put the work in and you want it, as opposed to, oh, hi guys, do you need anybody? No. Hi, I'm an expert in this. I'd like to speak about this. I can see that this is happening. Here's my show reel. I've been on this thing. Here's my press kit. Here's my headshot. Great. That just makes it a tick, come in at whatever time.
It's also proof of concept too, because then they can see how you speak, they can see what you look like, how you present on camera or in written form or audio, whatever you're pitching at. So, yeah, you're definitely having some of that as backup so that they can immediately see proof of concept.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're starting small. We're now growing to the bigger state, national sort of things. So we've got all our press kit done. We've got our talking points, the things that we want, our little tricks to stop us getting nervous. So what should we be looking at now?
So when you're actually in the interview, that's where you need to bring out those key talking points, and that's the moment where you've got to hit your mark and make sure that you make it worth your while, right? So, yes, you're there for the media, but also make sure you keep your answers concise. Sometimes it's only a three-minute segment, so it depends on how long it is. We're on a podcast here. We can speak for much longer. It's the possibility that it could be edited. So that's different than being sitting in a chair down the satellite. You've got 3 minutes. It's going live. You've got the countdown. You're talking down the barrel of a camera and you can just hear someone in your ear and you can't even see them. So you've got to keep in mind the medium, and also they're going to cut you off and you won't get asked back if you ramble on for too long during live TV or if you go off topic. So that's why it is good to do the small first, because it is even if you're a professional interviewer, you can just forget the question in the middle of what you're saying. If you're an author or a business owner, don't count that they know everything about you and your business. The person that books you may not be the person interviewing you. So they may not have read your book. They may not have read your website. They might not even know who you are. So it's up to you to be able to build that into your media appearance and or presentation without seeming like a salesman. So it's integrating the content and using case studies and stories, as well as keeping those little sound bites that are going to set you apart from everybody else while still getting your messaging out.
And I think that's so relevant, especially when you're doing it live. So if you're pitching for a joint venture, a partnership or a job, whether that be as a getting client, a customer, then there is no editing, there is no second chance. And like you say, quite often in those situations too, that the person that you spoke to get that interview, to get that meeting, won't always be the person that you then have the meeting with. So once again, all these tips sort of work both in a joint venture partnership or supplier type environment as well as a media.
Yeah, approach. So if you think of the Shark Tank TV show, those people are in there for hours. What we see is not what is what actually happens. One of my clients was on Shark Tank and got a deal with Mark Cuban. And so you can forget what you're saying in the middle of it. So you need to know your stats. How many times have we seen that show and the people don't know their stats? That's because they've been in there for a long time. However, it's crucial. You don't want that to happen to you if you've got a 20-minute presentation. So you do need to know your stats inside and out. You need to know your story inside and out. You need to know your products inside and out. So that's where, again, even just practicing into your computer, Mac, talking to yourself in the shower, doing it at the traffic lights. It sounds so basic, but when you're up there talking to people, if you know how you just run it over in your head, oh, I could have said that. I wish I would have said that. I knew that. And you just, there's all these things that you could do. So the familiar, even though you know your story, it's getting it down to that elevator pitch and thinking of the scenarios that will pay off in the long run when you're in those situations. So the whole winging it, minimum viable product, I kind of think the more prepared you are, the better it is in the long run. And some entrepreneurs think it's uncool. Well, whatever. I don't care. Like, I would rather be prepared and show up and have the answers in 20 ways like that every single time instead of winging it and then not being prepared and losing my spot or forgetting the stats. So, yeah, have your stuff together beforehand is absolutely.
Yes, and actors never wing it, do they? They spend months and months and months learning it to make it look like it's just come off the cuff. And it's far better to be prepared and then not have to use it than, like you say, afterwards go, oh, I should have said this, I should have said that, oh, I missed that crucial point. And if you've done your homework and you've done your preparation, you're less likely to do that. The other thing, of course, that people don't take into consideration is when they're winging it in the shower, that there's no audience. So unless you know your stuff to fall back on almost like habit, when you do get in those sticky situations where you're a bit nervous or you've got caught in the traffic or something and you've only just got there on time or whatever's happened that you can't control, then you've got that habit, you've got that information to go back on as opposed to, oh, what was it I was going to say? I was needed this. I haven't got my palm cards and all of that, and it's not going to look very professional. So you're already lost before.
Yeah, and it's not memorizing it. It's just having it in your mind and having the rehearsal in there, so you can go in and feel confident instead of feeling sick to your stomach, which we all have, and knowing that you'll be fine. And then you go in there. You can speak casually. You can speak like a normal person. You can joke around. You can go here, there, and everywhere, but you can be confident knowing that you've got all the things in place that you can zigzag on, turn on a dime, you know, is the saying, and go everywhere instead of having to stick to what you've just looked at 5 minutes before. So, I recommend it. And try it different ways. See how it works out. Record yourself. Air check yourself. Record yourself talking into a camera. Do you have weird tics? How are your hands going? Are you going on for too long? Are there weird ways that you're saying things? Have you got crutch words? So really assess yourself. I think people discount media and or presentation skills, and they are paramount. People buy the person over the product many times. So if they believe in you, the way you present it, your confidence, then you're going to get the deal more over than what you actually said sometimes. I always say it to my niece, she's 9, but I'm like, if you can learn to be a public speaker, it doesn't matter if you're a teacher or just speaking to a room of six people, the presentation skills will help you in life. So whether it be to partners or on TV, it's still a really good skill to have, I think.
And I think it's not quite as scary as a lot of people think. Definitely have a go, especially when you know your stuff. Then just think of it as a casual chat with somebody that you know. And it's interesting what you said about crutch words. I didn't realise how many crutch words I have until I start editing my podcast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you quite often have to have ones around that you don't say absolutely all the time, or beautiful, or other words that, you really don't notice. And, of course, when we're listening to each other, if you're actually listening as opposed to just waiting for your turn, there's so many so's in there that you miss until you actually edit it. So it's really interesting on the back end of a podcast hearing how it works.
Yeah, and the more you do, the better you'll get. And the more crutch words you get rid of, the more that pop up. So it's never ending. It's not like, oh, okay, I've absolutely nailed this. Every single interview I do, I always could find 5-10 things that I could do better. And every interview I do beyond that, there's something that I've included and got better at and something I've gotten worse at. So it's a never-ending skill, but it is a skill to have that will get you places, whether it be media, pitching, talking to a room, whatever it is, and just sending convincing emails. So all these skills are really crucial to small business owners, that's for sure.
Perfect. So is there anything you'd like to tell the audience in wrapping up?
I would just say don't underestimate the strength of a really good headshot and photography session. Having that on your website is pretty great, and you can do them at a reasonable price these days, and I would recommend updating them at least once a year, once every 2 years. Often with clients, I will say no to them and send them away to get new headshots because their one is from 15 years ago. And then it's just kind of a bit of a situation when they show up. And it feels good to have that. It is a tax deduction. So make sure you have that because that's what's going to go out to the press. And be careful of what's on your social media. This has happened to me. Was it Weekend Sunrise? I was on doing a down the barrel from a satellite from Los Angeles. And I was on there and then I saw some of the photos that they flashed up from Instagram and it was a little bit of a rude shock. So they can go through anything that's online and throw that up on their YouTube, Instagram, whatever is open season on you. So just be aware that if you get that media, they use something called B-roll and anything is open game. And you do not want that photo from 1983 that was a Polaroid that's been uploaded on Instagram as a funny thing to show up on the Sunrise show. Trust me.
That sounds like a very bad experience.
Oh, no, it was fine. It just showed me that it could have gone bad. Like it was just a photo that I didn't like, but, you know, so what? But I thought, you know what, if that could have gone a really bad way, so that showed me to go back through Instagram that if there was anything inappropriate, that's how people lose business, lose jobs, things happen. So just be aware that, you know, it's social media and it's public.
Okay, so we're up to our final five. So I ask all my guests 5 questions. So are you game?
I am game. Let's do it, Kathy.
What's the best advice you've had from a mentor?
Oh, I would say risk it for the biscuit.
What is the biggest help you've had since starting your business?
I would say self-education and reading books. My bookshelf is crazy. I was on a quest to read 50 books this year and I think I've done about 30. I just call it a self-taught MBA and I learn from the people on the one thing that they're best at. So, yeah, that's been good for me.
Okay. What is your one negotiable, the thing that you have to do every day?
Ooh, that's a great one. I'll check my phone. There is no – these people that go on breaks from social media and phone, I don't know how they do it, and also coffee. So I don't feel bad about it. It's not negotiable, and those two things keep me alive.
Lovely. And speaking of books, what is your favorite business book? Can you narrow it down to one or two?
Oh, it's usually what I'm reading at the moment. One that I'm really liking is Mike McCallowitz, Profit First, and it's a way that I hadn't thought about it. So I've been instilling it in my business this year.
Definitely, and paying yourself first before everything else is definitely a good mindset. Don't let all the expenses go and then you don't get anything at the end, which unfortunately a lot of small business people do. So definitely we'll link that one to the show notes. And your very last question is, what do you wish you had known when you first started out?
I wish I would have known it's never ending. Because the finish line just moves all the time. It's like that whack-a-mole game where you whack one and then something else pops up. You whack one, it pops up. It whacks one, it pops up. I always feel like I want to make it, but I don't know if you ever feel like you will. So I wish I would have known that at the beginning. I guess I know it now. So, hey, it's learning. It's all learning, right?
Definitely. And you have to celebrate your small wins because, as you say, sometimes it takes a long time to get to a big win. So,
yeah.
Start small and celebrate them all along the way.
Yes, true.
Wonderful, Kelly. Appreciate your time and your wisdom. So, how can people find you if the SBT audience would like to know more about you and the Talent Squad?
Come and visit me at thetalentsquad.com. I would love to hear from you.
Perfect. So, thank you very much, Kelly. Bye for now.
Thank you, Kathy. It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.